ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वैवस्वताय मृत्यवे ब्रह्मविद्याचार्य नचिकेतसे च। So we finished the first chapter last week and we had summarized, but basically we had the story of Nachiketa and then how Yamaraj starts teaching him. And he starts with telling him about Shreya and Preya, and then the two chariots and how one whose mind and intellect is coordinated goes upward, and in the chariot, the one whose mind and intellect is not coordinated goes downward. And then also Bhagwan Yamaraj told us about the nature of Atma and various meditation techniques. We had summarized that last week. So now we'll start with second chapter, Chaturthi Valli. Section 4, Obhinayo. Shloka 1, Hansaben, you would like to chant? Can unmute.
I'll do next one.
Okay, Sujata, you would like to do this?
Sure.
Paranchikhani Vyatrinath Swayambhuhu.
Varanshikwani Vyatranath
Tasmat Paran Pashyatinantaratman.
Tasmat Param Paschatinantaratman.
Kaschidhirah Pratyagatmanamaikshat.
Kaschidhirah Pratyagatmanamaikshat.
आवृतचक्षुरमृतत्वमिच्छन्।
आवृतचक्षुरमृतत्वमिच्छन्।
कैन म्यूट प्लीज। पराञ्चिखानि व्यत्रिनाथ स्वयंभुः तस्मात् परान् पश्यति नान्तरात्मन् कश्चिद्धीरः प्रत्यगात्मानमैक्षत आवृतचक्षुरमृतत्वमिच्छन्। This is one of the most popular. There are a couple of mantras in this Upanishad which are very popular, and this is one of them. Most Swamijis in their discourse, sometime or the other, will use this. And this mantra I would recommend that you memorize. It's very, very important because it has a lot of sadhana in it, and also it's perfect for meditation. This, as you will see the meaning. This is a beautiful mantra to meditate upon and take us to the inner self. So, paranchi khani. So khani, kha, khani means sense organs. The word kha in Sanskrit means space, also means cavity, you know, cavern. So khani are the sense organs because they're also holes, you know, there's also meaning of hole in kha. So khani, they are the holes with which we perceive the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the ears. These are all openings through which sense objects go into the mind, go into us, and that's how we experience the world of objects. So paranchi khani, paran means outward looking. So these senses were made outgoing by who? Vyatrinath. Who created that? Swayambhuhu. Swayambhuhu means Bhagwan, the self-created, the Lord who is self-created, who was not created by somebody else. So he created, but Vyatrinath means he created with a defect. These are defective sense organs. That's why they haven't used other, but they have used Vyatrinath means it was defect. Why? Because he created them outgoing. Tasmat paran pashyati. That's why all our senses look outside. Pashyati, they look, they see outside. Paran na antaratman, does not see the self within. So we all the time are busy hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, acquiring, possessing, wanting, because the sense organs are trained to look outward. But then he says, but kaschid dhira, but there is a rare dhira. Dhira means the wise person who has discrimination. Dhi means buddhi. So one who uses his intellect, and what does he do? Pratyag atmanam aikshat. Pratyag means within. Atmanam, this atma that is within, aikshat. Aikshat means sees. So here does not mean you see atma. When they say seeing in Upanishads, they usually mean knowing. Knowing, experiencing. So there is a rare individual who goes inward and experiences the presence of this atman within. And how does he do that? Avritta chakshu, with the sense organs turned inward. And why does he do that? Amritatvam ichchan, because he desires immortality. So desiring immortality, he turns his senses inward and pays attention to the self within. So why do the sense organs look outside? Because that's the natural tendency. Like if you throw a ball from the first floor, second floor of the building, it will fall to the ground because of gravity. Or fire, if you light, it goes upward. So the natural tendency of sense organs is to look outward toward sense objects. And then they take the mind with it. See, the mind also gets so engrossed. Oh, I should get this. I should enjoy this. I should possess this, 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 this. So all the time, the mind is running outward and ignoring the instructions of the scriptures and seeking happiness outside. And the story of Sugriva, we all know, where his brother had taken away his kingdom and his wife. And then he was forced to run around in the mountain. And then when he meets Ramchandraji, Ramchandraji says, I'll get you back your kingdom. Bali has done very wrong to take your kingdom plus your wife. So I will get you your kingdom back. And he said, oh, Ram, oh, Bhagwan, in return, I will send my monkeys to find Sitaji. So Ramchandraji fulfills the task and Sugriv is given the kingdom. He's enjoying for 3 months, you know, because it was heavy monsoons. And Bhagwan said, you know, you can stay here for 3 months because it's not a good time to find Sitaji. But after 3 months, he said, Bhagwan, definitely I will help. And so 3 months pass, a week, 2 weeks pass, you know, and Sugriv is still having his fun, not coming to help Ramchandraji. Then Ramchandraji tells Lakshman, calls him, he says, go tell Sugriv that the arrow with which I killed Bali, I still have it. See, Ramchandraji's arrow was unique. It would finish its job and then come back to him. So he said, I still have that arrow. Tell him not to forget. And then immediately Sugriv realizes his mistakes and he comes to Ram But interestingly, he doesn't acknowledge his mistake. He says, Bhagwan, it is your fault. He says, why my fault? He says, well, you made our senses to look out and enjoy. So that's what I was doing. So it's not my fault. So that's what we do. You know, we think that that's all, but it is a very rare person who is introvert. See, because most of us are extrovert looking for things outside, but there is a rare individual who goes within and seeks the inner atma, the inner self, as the subject. See, whenever we think of atma as na jayate, mriyate, vipaschit, or is never born, never dies, we think of it as somebody outside, atma or Brahman or God. But there is a rare person who looks inward to find this truth, and that is called a dhiraha. That is called a dhiraha purusha. Only a wise person will look within to find the truth. And if we don't do it, then in Sanskrit they say there are four things that animals do: ahar, nidra, bhaya, maithunam. Ahar is eating, drinking, enjoying. Nidra is sleep. Bhaya is fear. You know, animals run away from fear. And maithunam, procreation. But if a human does not go inward and only does these four things, then we are not any better than animals. If we just spend our life in acquiring, possessing, procreating, multiplying, and then drop our body. So they say the very rare Bhagwan in the Bhagavad Gita says, Manushya nam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye siddhamapi cha yatatamapi siddhanam kaschit mam veti tatvatah. He says, out of thousands of people, one maybe who works for siddhi, for higher, higher evolution, and out of thousands who exert for higher evolution, rare one comes to know me. It does not mean that it is impossible or very difficult. The idea is that it is such a rare privilege to have this opportunity to know Bhagwan within. So that is what Bhagwan Sri Krishna is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita, that turn your attention inward and you will find me. And they say that in India, they say when a river which is going downward towards the ocean, rarely the river will turn around for a short while and go backward and then continue its journey. So the place where the river turns around has becomes a pilgrimage place. So that's what they are saying, that one who turns within, he becomes a holy person. And our attention can be in meditation, we can do that, turn our mind inward and pay attention to the self. But even throughout the day, when you have a couple of minutes, just sit quiet, close your eyes, and pay attention to the life principle within. And whenever we are doing something that does not require too much attention, we can do that. Pay attention to Bhagwan and keep doing, maybe washing dishes or vacuuming or waiting for somebody or just sitting. And instead of, okay, let me pick up the phone and see, what's on WhatsApp, let me spend a few minutes on thinking about Bhagwan, go within. So that is what they say, kaschid dhira. It is a very rare person who does that and discovers that the peace and joy is within. And this turning is by wisdom, not by force. That doesn't mean you go to an eye doctor and say, operate on my eyes so they are facing inward, or you forcefully look inward. It is the idea is the attention should be on the self within, my attention. And that we should do in meditation also. Not forcefully pressurize the mind, but gently advise the mind to look inward. And what it says, Amrit Tattvam Ichchan. So such a person is seeking immortality. So what does mean seeking immortality? We think immortality is living in this same body for years and years and years, which is not possible. After some time, we have to drop it. It is understanding that I am immortal. The Atma, the Self, my true nature is ever immortal. I was never born. I will never die. So we don't say na jayate mriyate va kadachit for Atma. We say na jayate mriyate aham. I never die. I was never born. I am that eternal consciousness. And even while functioning in the world, when problems come, situations come, a person who understands and is able to detach and watch, you know, joys and sorrows, heat and cold, success and failure, honor and dishonor, he goes beyond mortality. Because what are these changes? Joy and sorrow, heat and cold, they are changes constantly coming in our life. But one who is able to detach and observe all these changes, in Bhagwan, in Bhagavad Gita, many places praises this white, Yo Mad Bhakta Same Priya, such a my devotee is dear to me, who remains Sama Shatrau Chamatre Cha Tatha Man Apman Yoho Shitoshna Sukha Dukheshu Sama Sangha Vivarjita. So there is a rare individual who is able to remain the same in all these changes. And what does he do? He enjoys the presence of Atma. It's not a punishment or it's not a, something forcefully, but if your mind is able to connect with the Self, you experience a great joy, a great peace. And those of you who meditate, when at times your mind is quiet and connected with Lord's presence within, you experience great peace, great happiness, great joy. So we understand that the peace and the joy is within and not outside. Now, there is another concept called Anvaya Vyatirek, which is a little, it took me a while to figure out, but I think all of you are now seasoned listeners, so we can talk about. Anvaya means that which is always present. Vyatirek is which comes and goes. So example is gold. You know, gold is always there. Now, it may be a necklace, it may be a bracelet, it may be an anklet. Gold is always present, but necklace is not in bracelet, bracelet is not in anklet. Name and form are different. So, and you can melt a bracelet and make an anklet or a necklace. So, gold remains same. That is anvaya. Vyatirek are these changes of name and form. So similarly, Atma is anvaya, it is eternal, it is always present. It never time when it is not there, it is there in waking, in dream, in deep sleep. In all three states, it is there. But waking is not dream, dream is not deep sleep. So those are vyatirek, Atma is anvaya. But what does Atma do? So it says that in the waking state, Atma, the consciousness, experiences this world of objects. So it experiences, it enjoys, it becomes a bhokta. Even though Atma itself is not a bhokta, but the presence of Atma, so Atma in a way becomes the experiencer. That's also what we say in, you know, in Drig Drishya Vivek also, but I'll talk about that later on. So Atma, as though enjoys the sense objects in the waking. In the dream state, Atma becomes the dream. So the whole dream is Atma itself. And in deep sleep, Atma swallows everything. In deep sleep, there is no world, there is no time. I have no experience. So Atma does all three. It enjoys in the waking. In the dream, it becomes the dream. And in the deep sleep, it swallows. So that is what they say, that to experience Atma's presence, you have to negate name and form. All these attributes, waking, dream, deep sleep. You know, in Dakshinamurti Stotram also, Shankaracharya ji says that Jagradapi, in the waking state, in the dream, in deep sleep, in childhood, youth, all the time, Atma is always present. But this turning should not be done forcefully. It should be happen gradually. It's like you're going fast speed downhill and then suddenly you need to go up. You don't rapidly turn the car around, you know, it will crash. So what you do, you apply your brakes, slow it down, and then at the right moment, turn around. So same way, our mind, which is all the time racing outward, gradually it has to be turned inward. And then I understand that I am paripurna, I am complete. I don't need the world to make me complete. So that is called amritatvam icchan, and that what the wise person does. It's a very, very beautiful mantra. I would again recommend, please memorize it and apply that, not only in meditation, but throughout the day. Even if you find it hard to memorize, know the meaning and then pay attention to that. And slowly, slowly, even one line every 3-4 days, if you memorize, this is a very, very beautiful mantra. I myself have started using this in my meditation. It's very beneficial. We actually did that on Sunday in the meditation class. Satish Bhai was there. Now we'll do number two. Hansa Ben, Hansa Jay, you would like to do that?
Yeah.
Paracha kamna nuyanti balaha.
Paracha kamananyo nanuyanti bala.
He mrityoryanti vitatasya pasham.
Te mrityoryanti vitatasya pasham.
Atha dhira amritatvam viditva.
Atha dhira amritatvam viditva.
Dhruvam adhruvesh vihana prarthayante.
Dhruvam adhruve vishwa pana parasthayante.
And mute, we'll all chant together. Paracha kamna nuyanti balaha te mrityoryanti vitatasya pasham atha dhira amritatvam viditva dhruvam adhruvesh vihana prarthayante. It's also very beautiful where Bhagwan Yamaraj gives us two separate examples. One, what I should not do. First two lines, and the second two lines are what we should do. That's the method of most teachers. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan again and again says, if you do this, this will happen. If you do the other one, that will happen. Choice is yours. So here he's giving us a clear choice of what we should do. So, paracha means external, and kaman means desires. So, external desires, anuyanti balaha, they follow, they chase after external desires, and Yamraj calls them balaha, they calls them children. Why? Ignorant children. Yeah, we'll talk about that. What he means by children means those who have ignorance, do not know what is right. So they, why are they called ignorant or childlike? Because they mrityoho yanti, they go towards death. Yanti means they go towards death. And what is death? Vitatasya pasham. Pasham means the ropes or the bondages of death are vitataha, they are spread all over. So death is all over, everywhere. And it is like a pasha. It is like a bondage, which, you know, they say even in other Upanishads also, that they are the bondage called Hridaya Granthi. Hridaya Granthi. We'll talk about what is Hridaya Granthi. So most of us spend our life chasing after sense pleasures and going towards death. So birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, and we have gone through many lifetimes, but today, now, at least having heard the Upanishads, we should decide to change and become like the second, third and fourth line. So that is the purpose of listening, that I need to make a change in my life. If I keep living as I am, as Guruji says, you will keep getting what you have been getting. So if you want to change your life, change it with the knowledge of the scriptures. And then what about the third and fourth line? Again, he talks about dhira. Dhira means the wise person. Atha, now, but in the first case, it is ignorant. In the second case, is wise person. Amritatvam viditva, having known what is immortality, what is immortal, and what is that? Dhruvam adhruveshu iha na prarthayante. Dhruva means that which is eternal. Adhruva means that which is temporary. So iha means in this world, na prarthayante. They do not chase after, they do not pursue, they do not desire or look for permanent in the temporary. So very rare people, because their goal is immortality, having heard from their teacher, they do not chase after the world. So he further wants to emphasize this, because this is a very important topic. So two mantras have been dedicated to that. So what is desire? Why do we have desire? So in the scripture say there are three things: avidya, kama, karma. And then the fourth one is karma phala. So because I have ignorance, I do not know what is my true nature. I do not know that Brahman is my true nature. Avidya, out of ignorance, and I do not know that I am complete. So what do? I desire. So by getting this thing, I'll be complete. Getting this object, getting this power, this position, this person. So we look for completeness in things, position, people, and avidya, kama, and karma. And then we do actions to get that. Whatever I don't have, I do spend all my life in acquiring, possessing, and that's how most people live their life. And so when they do avidya, kama, karma, then they get karma phala. Then the result comes, and that is more birth, and more vasanas, more tendencies. So how do you break that cycle? By going towards desirelessness. And we'll talk about what is desirelessness. So why do they call them children? Because children, as we said, are ignorant. So these people, like children, they just chase after what they want. You know, the children also, they don't have, you don't have, you can't tell them, oh, this you know, ice cream, why don't you eat half today and keep half for tomorrow? No, they have no idea. They want live in the now. They want to finish the whole thing. So these people also live in the present and do not care about future, and because of that they suffer and they get fatigued chasing after sense objects, trying to possess them, trying to obtain them. And the masters tell us that there are three kinds of people. One, who learn from mistakes of others. Second is those who learn with our own mistakes. Oh, I made this mistake last time, so I won't do it again. And the third one is, even after making mistakes, they don't learn. So he says, be the first kind, because the second kind, to learn from your own mistakes, we have a limited life. How many mistakes are you going to commit and learn, commit and learn? So look around and see how the majority of the people are living. And Vedanta is not by democracy. It is not that if 99% of the people vote one way and only 1%, no, that 1% is right in Vedanta, not the 99%. That's why they say kaschid dhira, a rare person does that. And you know, people again think, I have a big house and I bought this on sale and that on sale. They don't realize that what was on sale had been marked up 30% the week before, and then the store lowers it and you get very happy. Arey, I got it in the sale. Or we get attached to so many funny things like sports teams. You know, people are so passionate. Oh, my 49ers, my Raiders. And we spend so much money and going to the games. And then if somebody gives us free tickets, we are ready to do anything for him. But somebody teaches us Vedanta, we don't think that is worth anything. And then we buy the expensive jerseys, you know, $150, $200 jackets of my favorite player. And next year, that player goes to another team. Why? Because they promised him more money. And then our jersey becomes useless. So, or the team will just trade him. So they don't have any loyalty towards us. All the team owners care about is making money. And so if you want to come and spend money and pay $10 for a Coke, good, come and do that. So same way we get loyalty to the wrong things and chase after them. And that's what they say this world is. Vitatasya pasham, the amritatvam, the mrityor, the pasha of mrityor is everywhere, all over present. There's a very beautiful story. So there was this man who believed in this astrologer, and astrologer was very accurate. And so before he doing anything, he would ask him what to do and then pay him very well. So one day the man just says, "Let me go and see what the astrologer has." So it was evening time, so he stops by after work. Astrologer looks at his kundli and says, "I have bad news." He says, "What bad news?" He says, "Tomorrow is your last day on earth. I'm sorry to tell you, but this is it. You're not." So he gets very scared. He says, "Oh God, death is coming for me. What should I do?" So he pays the astrologer, goes quickly, and first he buys a false beard, a white beard and mustache, and then he tells the barber to dye his hair, to kind of dye, bleach his hair so it looks white. So he starts looking old, changes his appearance, put on old clothes, and is walking with a walking stick. And he lives in LA and he says, "Look, I need to get away from LA because death is coming." So he goes to the airport, buys the overnight ticket, the midnight ticket, and he flies to New York. He said, "I need to get away from LA, and he goes there, he rents a car, and he says, "Which is the nearest forest?" So the forest is 2.5, 3 hours away. So he drives out of the city, goes to a forest, and says, "I should be hiding here." And he's walking with a stick and looking. He said, "Death will never find me. I have changed my appearance, changed my location, everything." And so he goes behind the trees and he's hiding, and suddenly a hand comes and holds his neck. And he gets scared. He said, looks around. There's a dark figure. So he says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm Death." So he says, "How did you find me?" He says, I was wondering because I was told that I have to take you here. And you were in Los Angeles yesterday evening, and I was wondering how you will reach from Los Angeles to New York into this forest, and I had been waiting." And he said, "You made my job easy." So that's what they say. You cannot escape death. Death is vitatasya pasham. The bondages of death are everywhere. So before it comes to catch our throat, let us get this highest knowledge. And then such a person who becomes desireless. Desireless means then he's not looking for happiness in the world. Does not mean he gives up everything, but nothing of the world is going to give me what I really want. That is desirelessness. And only thing I desire is Bhagwan. Only thing I desire is Atma. And then this person is not carried away by worldly joys and sorrows, success, failure. He remains firm. That way, he said Dhruvam. And in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan Sri Krishna gives another beautiful shloka. Yavanartha udapane sarvata samplutodake tavan sarveshu bhuteshu brahmanasya vijanatah. So he says, just as a person goes to the well to bring water, say he lives in a well village and there is only one well. So he has to walk a mile or two, or she has to go to bring water every day. And then for bathing, for drinking, and so on, the ladies in the village carry the pots. But supposing there is a heavy rain and the whole village is flooded, the roads are flooded and everything, then the lady doesn't need to go to the well or to the river. All she can do is put her hand out of the window, collect that bucket of water and drink it or enjoy it. So similarly, one who has experienced the fullness within, where there is a flood of joy within, then he doesn't need to go after small, 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 small things to get joy. And so he lives always experiencing sat and not asat. We say asato ma sat gamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya mrityorma amritam gamaya. So may I go from asat to sat. Asat means unreal, untruth, which is temporary. Temporary is called asat, and sat is permanent. So from the temporary asatoma satgamaya, may I not chase after temporary, may I go after the permanent. Tamasoma jyotirgamaya, may I go from darkness to light. And mrityorma amritam gamaya, so may I go from darkness to light means ignorance to knowledge. And mrityorma amritam gamaya, may I not chase after the temporary, may I not get my immortal state. So that is the state of this wise person who knows what is my purpose in life and what is that which I should pursue in life. And that is called desirelessness. With desirelessness, you then become free from all the worldly attachments, bondages. Then none of that is important. Does not mean you don't love people or, are kind to people. In fact, the person becomes more kind and compassionate because he sees the whole world as I. So that is why desirelessness is equal to immortality, equal to that birth. One who is desireless then does not go through birth and death, but experiences the highest state. A third one, Shaku, you want to read that? No, nahi, wo nahi.
येन रूपं रसं गन्धं
शब्दान्
सत्तान्
स्पर्शांश्च
एतेनैव विजानाति
मैथुनान् एतेनैव
किमत्र परिशिष्यते
विजानाति
एतौ वै तत्।
यू कैन म्यूट. येन रूपं रसं गन्धं शब्दान् स्पर्शांच मैथुनान् एतेनैव विजानाति किमत्र परिशिष्यते एतद्वै तत्. सो येन बाय विच मीन्स बाय द प्रेजेंस ऑफ आत्मा बाय लाइफ ओनली वी आर एबल टू एक्सपीरियंस व्हाट. So rupam means form, rasa means taste, gandha means smell, shabda means sound, sparsha means touch. So the five senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, we experience because of atma. And then the sixth one is maithunan. Maithunan means contact with the opposite sex. So the sexual pleasures. So these are the five. And why the sixth one is mentioned? Because the five are experienced by the sense organs, but contact with the opposite sex is experienced by organ of action. This is the only one that is experienced because the five organs of action, hands, speech, feet, genital organs, and excretory organs. So it is the procreative organ by which we experience contact with the opposite sex. And why do you say maithunan? Because that includes all the joy and experiences of all them. So all of these are used in the plural. So eten aiva. So with that presence of atma alone, vijanati comes to know. Because if atma is not functioning through me, I am not alive. Obviously, I can't experience any of the pleasures of the world. So to experience the pleasures, I need life. So that's why Atma yena, by Atma alone, you can know it. And kimatra parishishyate, and what remains other than this? So what it means is that Atma knows everything. The Atma, God, consciousness within is the knower of everything. Whatever I see, hear, smell, taste, touch, experience is known. And that Atma, etad vai tat, vai means indeed, tat means that which you had come to ask me. He says, anyatra dharmat, adharma, that which is beyond dharma and adharma, beyond past, present, future, beyond cause and effect. That you tell me, he had told Yamaraj. So he says, that which you were asking, that which is beyond time, beyond cause and effect, and beyond dharma and adharma, that atma, that is this, what I have just told you. So from now, he will spend a few mantras describing the nature of Atma again to emphasize. So this is also summarized in the Kena Upanishad. In fact, the whole Kena Upanishad is devoted upon this, that what is the eye of the eye, the mind of the mind, what is the speech of the speech, that is the Atma. That's what it is. So the whole teaching of Kena Upanishad, Bhagwan Yamraj has given in one mantra. And all the sense organs, what do they experience? They experience the objects. So objects are known by the eyes. Eyes are not affected by the objects. So if I see a red color, my eyes don't become red, blue doesn't become blue. That is Drig Drishya Vivek. Shankaracharya ji's book, which we are actually doing in the Wednesday study group. So Drig Drishya Vivek. So the eyes know the objects. Now, who knows the eyes? The mind knows the eyes. Eyes, if they are functional or if they are blurry, the mind doesn't become blurry. The mind knows that my eyes are blurry. I need to go see an eye doctor to get glasses. So objects are known by the eyes. Eyes are known by the mind. And who knows the mind? The Atma, the consciousness. Mind means mind and intellect both. So the status of my mind being disturbed or happy is known by Atma. So this way, Atma is the seer, and there is no other seer that can know Atma. Atma, so drigeva natu drishyate. So this consciousness is always the seer, never becomes seen, never becomes known as an object. It is the subject, and it is the life center within me that controls everything, whatever, and there is nothing which the Atma doesn't know. Atma again means God or Brahman. As we say, God knows everything. God knows what I'm going to do even before the thought arises in my mind. The consciousness within knows. That's why there are stages of speech. Even before I have formulated the thought, God knows what I'm going to think, what I'm going to speak, what I'm going to do. And so, etad vaitad. Why does he say that is this? Because this is closer than that. Like if I say, okay, that wall and this computer, the computer is closer, the wall is far. Then you say, not this that computer, this shirt. So computer is far, this shirt becomes closer. Then you say, not this, not that shirt, but this body. So body is closer than shirt. And then not that body, this mind. So same way, not that mind, this consciousness. So this is the closest. So Atma is the closest, and that is the true experiencer of everything, and what we, and that is the subject. And it cannot be known as an object. So we should not try to objectify Bhagwan or objectify Atma, but turn the attention inward. And even when in the those who do puja to see God outside, when they do that height of experience of God's presence outside, they also experience him inside. And that's what Prahlad, when he Bhagwan Vishnu came, not Prahlad, sorry, Dhruva, when Dhruva experienced Bhagwan Vishnu, he was such deep in meditation that he didn't even know Bhagwan had come in front of him. And then Bhagwan touches with his conch, his cheek, and Dhruva wakes up and he sees Bhagwan and he says, oh, Bhagwan Vishnu, who you are outside, you are also inside. You are me. And so that is the final experience. And that is what is the cause of everything. So cause and effect. Effect is the world, cause is God, and it is beyond time. And there is one more principle I'll enumerate before we end today. They say assembly of things are not for the things, but for somebody else. So like house is an assembly, right? It has different rooms and wood and stone and roof and floor. All these are assembled electrical wiring and all, but they are not used by the house. They are useful for the occupant of the house. Car is an assembly. You know, there is carburetor and door and, you know, engine and oil and petrol and all that. But it's the car does, it's not for the car to experience. It is for the driver. So same way, this body is an assembly. It is for the assembly of muscle, fat, you know, all the different organs, nerves, arteries, heart, lungs. So all this assembly is not for the body to experience. It is the Atma who is the true experiencer, true knower, the Jivatma, and then it is the consciousness that illumines. And so same way, so from this assembly, you go to the one who is the owner, the final owner of this body. So that is what he says, that that by which we are able to experience this world of objects and enjoy all the pleasures, that is the experiencer of everything. Whatever I experience, not only I experience, all beings all over the world, all over the universe, whether it's insects, birds, plants, fish, animals, all experiences are known to that one Atma, the one consciousness, one Bhagwan, one Brahman. And that is my true nature. And this is what we are all searching. We are searching for happiness, but we are looking for it in the wrong places. There is actually a famous country song, looking for happiness in all the wrong places. So maybe he was talking about something else, but it is a very spiritual song where you and I are looking for happiness in the world while happiness is within. So here I'll end. That idea is that turn your attention inward, find true joy within, and that alone is the purpose of life. And we have to do that before we experience death. Before death, you know, that's why he says, Mrityuhu vitatasya pasham. Death is present everywhere. We don't know when it will come. So, and our time on this earth is limited and we can't run away from death. So, do whatever you can in this short time we have left. So that is the beautiful mantras. I really enjoyed preparing these. So any questions or comments, please feel free. Anything you want to add? Or can unmute. Anything is not clear? Okay, looks like there's no question. Anybody has any comment? Hansa, Dr. Hansa Patel. Okay, so we'll end today and then see you next week. We'll continue this further study. This Kathopanishad is very, very practical. Very, very, you can apply that right away. It gives you very day-to-day examples and worldly examples. So that's the beauty of this Upanishad. It is, though has the highest knowledge, easier to understand. Yeah, Hansa, you have any comment?
No, I just was going to say, it's not the senses are defective. It's our mind which is defective. Senses are there to, you know, to see, hear everything. That is our instrument to work in the world. But we take that as an attraction towards them. Our mind runs after it. So it's a defect is in a mind, I think.
Because
the
mind,
God create this instrument is created perfect. It's right. A mind which is not totally developed enough to avoid that.
True, true. That is true. That's why Mana Shashtani Indriyani, Bhagwan Shri, as mind is the sixth sense.
Yeah, mind is
all together. So senses cannot become free from that. Senses are a part of the mind. So that's why it is said that is a way of expressing. It's not
yeah.
Not his creation is defective, but the active,
The senses are very pure. They just make you see a flower if I want to see it. But then I want that flower, that becomes my mind running after it. But the senses only shows me what it is in nature. And something I need, yes, you use it, but don't run after it.
Right.
That the running after it causes disappointment is a second part case that, you know, your attachment to some desires makes you get that bondage. And then the death, you are constantly depressed, or very happy. And that's part of the death, I think. So the second stanza was anyway.
That's good. Thank you. Anything else? Okay, we'll end today and see you next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you. Hari Om.